tonight. Let's go to Hebrews 3:14. We're going to unblock your believer tonight. We're going to unblock your believer. We're going to get rid of all the blessing blockers tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are we up yet? We welcome our internet audience tonight. Hello, Facebook. Hello, everybody out there. We're glad you're with us. Praise the Lord. We're going to Hebrews 3:14. Are y'all there yet? Praise the Lord. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. For with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we were talking Sunday, we were talking about hard hearts, remember? Amen. Are y'all here? All right. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about hard hearts, and we're talking about the fact that hard hearts have a problem believing God. So you don't want to have a hard heart. And the Israelites missed the promised land because they didn't believe God. That was a problem there. So believing is done with the heart. It is not done with the intellect. It's done with the heart. So in dealing with the heart, Jesus in the parable of the sower, which you're going to find in Luke, Matthew, and Mark, in all three places, you're going to see that he refers to the hearts as the ground. And so Mark 4:26, let's look at that. Mark 4:26, your Bible should just flip open there. Amen. Thank you. Danny said, Pastor Kendall was cooking, and she stopped and looked at me and said, you know, I really got what Pastor was saying. I really got about that my heart. It's like the ground. And she says, yeah, and so you have to plow it up and make it good. And I told Danny, I said, well, there you are. She's crossed the biggest hurdle there is, because Jesus said if you can understand the parable of the sower, you can understand all. And so that's just amazing. She's got it. And so she could just move right forward. Amen. This is Mark 4:26. This is the kingdom of God. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So all of the kingdom, church, all of the kingdom works this way. The whole kingdom of God works this way. Finances work by sowing and reaping. Service works by sowing and reaping. How you behave works by sowing. Everything. Love works by sowing and reaping. This is how the kingdom works. Now, Jesus said, though, here in Mark 4:14, he said, the sower sows the word. He told a parable to the people earlier because they had hard hearts. And once you have a revelation, you're responsible for it. And so to protect people, isn't God good? He'll tell things in parables so that it'll go over their heads until they're ready to be responsible for it. Evidently, Kendall was ready, wasn't she? So the word is sown in the heart. All of the promises are in the word, are in word form, okay? So when promises are sown into your heart, they're sown in as seed. So whatever God says in the word, prophetically, or just the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, this is all seed being sown into your receiver. Okay? Now, the word said, think about this. The word said in Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's right after Jesus was born, all this stuff took place. Did you hear those words? It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So Mary had some huge keys to believing. Huge. Because she said, be it unto me according to your word, to the angel. And now we see that she's meditating on the word. Jesus is the word. She's meditating on every move that the word is making.
Wow.
You realize that? Isn't that good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So Mary's someone you can really follow. Can you see it? Y'all see that? Okay, so she kept going back and meeting with those moments. She kept going back and meeting with those words. You know, you could go back and meet with, I'm in covenant with Almighty God. I'm in a covenant with the God of the universe. And when you go back and think about those words, things happen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what meditation will do. So we need to meet with the truth and let it in, and then we will believe. So you have to have a heart that can receive. If you think about the word heart is the word hear, and within the word hear is the word ear. Man, that's just a setup right there. Amen. Hebrews 3:15 said, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, or when they provoked him, because they came back, they came back with reports. They all came back with a good report, but two of them had butts. But they're giants, but y'all know what I think about that. Anyway, so we need these hearing hearts so we can believe. So then we would need to plow up the hard ground. So what I want to give to you tonight, I want to help you plow up any ground you may need to plow up, and we're going to look at hindrances to believing. And so they're blessing blockers. And you know, people would say, well, no, blessings aren't blocked. We're under grace. But, well, obviously all Christians aren't enjoying all the blessings. So how's that working for you? There must be a secret to that. It can't just be Jesus gave it all and everybody's getting it. He did give it all. It is all of ours. There's scripture after scripture saying Jesus has already done it. He's already given it to you. Here's the secret. You have to receive it. Just like you received him on the day you were born again. And so everything that comes along, every benefit that comes along, you have to receive it. And, you know, people don't think about that. They're just like, oh, well, it's mine. But, yeah, and then, and there's, here's another thing, church. You have to build your capacity to receive.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Okay. So you build, that's what we're all doing, is building our capacity to receive. So, and you know, two things. We have, of this salvation, it's all of it is by grace, but it's through faith.
Amen.
It's through faith. The scripture says so. And then even grace, even on its own, I'm going to say this to you, it has to be stewarded. Things that God gives you, according to the story of the talents, which didn't mean juggling. According to the story of the talents, there were stewards that were better than others. Some people steward faith better than other people.
Yeah.
Some people steward love better than other people.
That's good.
Some people steward favor better than other people. But it is available. It's available to you. Stewarding is not hard. I could tell you in two words. Believe, receive.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Stewarding is not a hard thing. Testimonies. Talking about what God has done. That stewards your favor. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's just look at the hindrances. Number one, identity. One of the greatest hindrances that you're going to deal with, or one would deal with, maybe not you. A lot of people have a lack of understanding of who they are in Christ. I mean, we all have loads of friends who believe they're old sinners saved by grace.
Yeah.
Do we? We do.
Yeah.
They are saved. But they don't understand their identity. We're not old sinners saved by grace. We're not old sinners anymore. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. You are not who you used to be. You're a different person. Colossians 1, 21-22, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless. I like that. And above reproach in his sight. So you're also blameless. You're blameless. God's not blaming you for anything. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again. Hey, born again. Not, well, I just always have known Jesus. No. Having been born again, receiving Jesus as your Savior so that a light comes on in your spirit and you have a rebirth on the inside.
Yes.
That's how you get born again. Not just because you always knew Jesus. Demons believe and they tremble. Praise the Lord. So, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 2:9, you can just hear these. You know these. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen and even special. You are especially special. In the coming millennial, you'll be called the glorified ones. There'll never be another group like the ecclesia. There'll never be another group like the body of Christ, like the church of the living God. All of us in this, what they used to call in the old days, in this great parentheses of grace, all of us will be like we are forever, only with glorified bodies, of course. But we will always be these kids of God that had a special place. You're special. And let me just tell you this. Because you were born in this time, when the King is coming. Let me try that over here. Since you're born in this time when the King is coming, you're living in a special time. You're living in a special time because Jesus is coming. Like, well, he's always been coming. Look around. Jesus told us how to read the season. We're in the season. Now, we don't know the day. Jesus doesn't know the day. He has to wait for Father to tell him. Why? Because if Father told him, he'd tell us. He can't help himself. He said, everything that Father tells me, I'll tell you. So he can't tell us. Right? He doesn't lie. He can't tell. He can't know, because he would say, Randy, guess what? I'm coming Thursday. That's what he would do. Anyway, praise the Lord. But Jesus did that for you. Let me just paint a picture for you. I think I did this a few years ago with you guys. But imagine this little baby and born to an unwed mother. No one knows who the daddy is. Nobody wants to know who the daddy is. This is a child that nobody wants. He doesn't belong to anyone. And then let's take a picture of the best family ever. Here's this best family. The best one you can think of. A family that loves God. The man has a good job. They're blessed financially. They're givers and lovers of people. And they fall in love with this little baby. Before long, they adopt the baby. What happened? The baby was reborn. He's born into a new family. He got a new set of parents. Through adoption, he now has become an heir. That's right, isn't it? He's an heir. But did you notice that there's nothing that the baby had to do to get there? Okay? All he had to do was go into their arms. All he had to do was go live in their house. And you know, the parents didn't just say, just look at all the baby has done for us. That's not happening. That's not what goes on. We're just so impressed with the baby. We'll adopt him. No. You know, he hasn't even earned their respect. They just love the baby, okay? So it's a baby. So it couldn't have done anything to earn any life yet, right? So any new life. So this man and a woman agree together out of love in their hearts, and they bestow this grace on this child and say, we're taking you in the family. People do that with puppies too, like Bonnie Barnhill. Bonnie Barnhill just ran into Ronnie's daughter's car on the highway. She opened the car door and the dog went, ran and jumped in it, like, close the door, let's go, you know. But out of the kindness of her heart, that dog now has a wonderful home. Amen. And it wasn't because of anything the dog did. The dog's cute, but, you know, praise the Lord. So, but, you know, when they offer the baby the bottle, he didn't knock it out of the way and say, I'm just so humble and undeserving. Do not give me my bottle. I don't deserve. Father, mother, I don't deserve this bottle. No, he grabbed that bottle. He's going. Amen. And he's not like, just give me water. It'll be okay. No, he's going to eat it up. He's going to drink whatever he has. So what is it then? The baby acts like part of the family because the baby's part of the family. It's time for us to act like part of the family. This is our papa, and he's God of the universe. And we need to get out of all this religious stuff. This is our father. Now, we don't move away from honor and respect, but we need to move right into the idea. This is our daddy. He's our daddy. Amen. That's what Abba actually means, is daddy. And so this child, because he was adopted, he's in covenant. God does not break covenant. In fact, in covenant relationships, there are representatives. And our representative is our brother Jesus. So God and Jesus are in covenant with each other, and neither can fail.
Wow.
And so everything's good for us. But we need to think about that. There's only 72 of these hindrances, so we'll get through them pretty quick. I'm almost done with one. There's six, and this was the longest one. I just love to do that to y'all. Okay, so we need to know who we are. God loves us. He's our kid. I knew my daddy loved me. Everybody always says, you're a real daddy's girl, aren't you? Yes, and I'm this daddy's girl too. I get it. And he does meet all my needs as a daddy. Number two is condemnation. Condemnation is an adverse sentence. It's unfavorable. You're accused and you're convicted. And we see that in Romans 8. But listen to what Romans 8 says. It says, there is therefore now, what?
No
condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation for us. That, listen, and people try to, I think there's scriptures that talk about there's no voice of condemnation. Don't read that version. This means there's no legal condemnation. There's no legal condemnation. Amen? Can't get you. There's nothing the devil or people can say that can condemn you or convict you, send you, put you on in a sentence, you know. And then notice one more thing. It said now. Now no condemnation. So the past is over. And you may say, well, it was just a few minutes ago that I acted like a heathen. Well, that word updates itself every minute. Every time you say now, it's now, 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 now. And so God set it up that way. So you need to come out from under any condemnation. And that goes right along with number three, which is your past. Past is a real enemy. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what creature? He's a new creature. So your past doesn't matter at all. Sounds like a song. Come on home. So there's two things that bother you about your past. Number one, things you did. And number two, things that were done to you. That's what bothers people about their past. Those two things. May go all the way back to how mom and dad treated you, or Uncle so-and-so, or a teacher, or what, whoever, or some uncle, or whatever. But you're forgiven. You are forgiven. You need to forgive yourself.
Yes.
And you need to forgive anybody else who's abused you or offended you. Because if you don't, they're just keeping you in jail.
Yeah.
And you're paying every day for their crime. So you just forgive and move on. And as we said on Sunday, it's simply a choice. It doesn't matter. You may have feelings rise up when you see them walking across the street. But you can say, no, I forgave. It's a choice. I forgave, and I'm free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So just get rid of that past. You're done with it. Just allow the blood to wash away the guilt. And You know, that is one thing I should say here. Guilt and false guilt come along with the past, don't they? The guilt and then the false guilt. A lot of people feel guilty for things they didn't even do. And so with the real guilt, you just talk to God about it, repent about it, and get rid of it. And don't pick it back up again. With the false guilt, you cast down the imagination. No, you will not accuse me of that. I didn't do it. I'm not guilty of it. I'm not responsible for that person's decision. They made that decision. Example. Okay. They did that, and you're not going to get me for that.
Yeah.
Because people will say this, you made me mad. Don't they? Well, you just made me so mad it made me act like that. Now, just wait a minute. You didn't do anything. Those would be my emotions that rose up. And they're reacting from something that was already there. And so you what you do is use that as a teacher and go, why did that make me so angry just then? And then you go back and talk to Holy Spirit about it. And that's how you deal with these things. So nobody really is making you mad or angry or anything else. You deal with the inside. Amen. So tonight this word can't make you mad. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you cast down those imaginations. Number four, ignorance. Ignorance is not stupidity. Okay? Ignorance is the lack of knowledge. You're inexperienced or you're oblivious or unaware. You didn't know certain things. There are a lot of people that don't know certain truths about the Bible. And if they don't know them, they're not really responsible for them. You have to know. And a lot of people are do things and they don't even know what's wrong. Well, I should say that their conscience, something in them convicts them. But still, there are things that aren't clear to you, that you don't have understanding. And that ignorance will actually hold you back. If you don't understand, let me go here with it because this is the better way to go. But if you don't understand that the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow to it, you might join up with the people who say, man, those prosperity preachers. Yet the Bible has more scriptures about prosperity than healing.
Yes, it's true.
It must have been, God must have known it'd be a bigger problem. Because he put more in there, and he probably knew that religious people would come along and try to sell people a bill of goods of poverty is so much better. I've been there. I don't think it was very good at all. You see what I'm trying to tell you. So you learned some things. I mean, I was ignorant of the fact that God was good. We thought he was doing all this stuff to hurt us because we went to Bill, whatever his name was, convention that told us that, remember, you, yeah, there you go. Randy said that on TV. I didn't. No, I'm kidding. We went to his meetings and he taught us all these reasons why we were having trouble, and it was all that God was doing it to us. And so don't try to fix a fix, because if you do, God will fix it. And all this strange stuff, and we'd sit there and go, I think I want to go back to the pool hall. But am I right? Because it was just, I mean, a mean God and all this stuff. But we were ignorant. And I guess Bill was too. He's a lovely person, but he just didn't know the truth. He picked up a whole tradition from somebody else and just kept teaching it. Well, our church says that da, da, da. Well, I'm telling you, our church says the Bible is truth.
Amen.
And the truth is God is good. And the truth is God is not beating you up. The truth is that God loves us and he wants to help us and he wants to bless us. He prefers us. He takes care of us all the time. And he's trying to remove all these blessing blockers so you can just go to the overflow. Even in a season when everything looks like everything's going to hell. I don't mean that in a cussing sort of way. I mean, it looks rough, but I'm telling you, there's great turnaround. And in prayer this morning, how many of you were praying with us this morning? I'm telling you, the Lord said some things. We are coming out right now. The God is moving. Now, if you didn't see Flashpoint last night, you ought to go back and see it, because there's a revival going on in New York. It's amazing. Things are changing. Amen. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for that. So we don't want to be ignorant. We want to know the truth. We want to have understanding. And then number five is flesh. The flesh will block you if you don't watch out. Romans 8:1, remember that one we just read? There is now for no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? Flesh. That's carnality. That's just, what is that? What does it mean that? Is that just you're a meathead or what? No, it means the five senses. That you only judge things by the five senses. You never take it to a spiritual level and see what the Spirit's saying. Everything is just, well, it's just black and white. This didn't work. I don't feel good, so I must be. This is like this. Everything is just judged by five senses. But God said in his word, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither is it entered in. Hey, the five senses didn't get it. But the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And then it goes on to say there, God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. And so you're going to have to at some point move out of your flesh and get a picture of things with your spirit. And that should be happening in the room right now. That you're on a level right now going, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, God is the God of the supernatural, and I'm his kid, so I live in the supernatural. So things that look impossible can turn around. Things can go my way. I can have favor. I can be blessed. I can be well. I can minister on a level that the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God. These are things that belong to us, church. Amen. You start getting a revelation of this. You start knowing that you can get above your flesh. And number six, which is the last one, is fear. Fear is the big blocker. Faith and fear are what we call reciprocals. They work the same way at different ends. Faith, how do I want to say that to you? Let me back up just a little. Satan can't do anything apart from fear. He has to have fear. You're like, lust is fear. Yeah. It is. Envy is fear. What about mine? What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Right? That's fear. Fear moves Satan. Faith moves God. Why? Because faith is in God. Fear is in Satan. It's in him. Fear is developed by meditating and acting on Satan's lies. Well, it's going to turn out this way. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, why? Why did it happen to me? What did I, blah, 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 blah. Worry is meditation on fear. You're meditating on what the devil can get away with. You have to say, shut up. That's not my thought. I'm not taking it. I'm in faith and I'm going with God. Just shut him down. And you'll have to practice that, because you could be in there shaving or combing your hair or getting ready, and you're going through your thoughts for the day, and here he'll come. Well, you know, it worked for everyone else, but not you. And you know now, you're not going to get it, so you need to settle down. You know. You know why those people don't like you? You know why you don't have... Either that or you're in there going, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I'm going to get sick. I just know I'm going to get sick. What's wrong with me? That's all just the enemy.
Yeah, it is.
It's all just the enemy. You just need to knock him out. Take him out with words. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Fear is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. So you have your choice. Fear demands compromise. Satan supports and develops fear. Fear becomes doubt and unbelief when acted upon. We receive what we continually look at. People made rash decisions just to help them get down the line. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. I think it's better to just back up and say, what are we doing, Lord? What are we doing? Because I'm not stepping out here unless I hear you tell me what to do. So, now, it doesn't have to take 2 years to hear that. But if you go back and take care of all these blockers here, you'll hear the voice of God. You just got to get them out of the way. I don't know if God talks to me. Listen, the Holy Spirit's talking all the time. It's just that you need to be able to come up into that place with him. You need to start fellowshipping with him and stop treating him like you're praying to a statue somewhere. That was really good right there. Y'all missed a place to amen right there. You just need to go and go for a walk with him or something and say, you know what, Lord, we need to talk. It doesn't have to be, oh, great God, thou thus this ye are. You can go, you know what, Father, I need you to show me. And this is what I see now. Show me, because I'm going to make the correction. I'm going to do what I need to do. You show me and I'll do it. I always tell the Lord this, Lord, I'm your faithful daughter that'll do anything you make clear to me. And as long as I can see it, I'll do it. All you have to do is be able to see it and you'll go, oh, I can do that. But you'll have to get there. You can't keep going back to just your own thinking. Church, I know I've been preaching on this for about 10 years, but we're going to get it. Because you got to use your believing and receiving. Did you know that fear not is found over 60 times in the Bible? And when you say, I will not fear, that puts love to work. If you say, I will not fear, love goes into action. What does 1 John say about love? You recall? Shall I read it to you? 1 John 4. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. But perfect love, not perfect that you're perfect or you have perfect, but perfect love, God, perfect love, his mature love. Because if you read up above here, it says God is love. Love cast out fear, because fear has torment. God does not want you tormented. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, if you're scared, then you need to get over into some love. No, no, Father, you'll protect me. No, I'm going to live and not die. No, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. No, the devil's not stealing on my finances. No, he's not taking anything away from me. So you have to be bold about it. You know, in the old days, I go, boy, you better not talk to the devil like that. Boy, you better. Because you're the ecclesia, and you have authority, and you better tell him where to get off.
Amen.
Because this planet and everything on it belongs to you. He's just here for a season, and he's going down. But he has to get off your stuff. But you'll have to tell him to get off your stuff, because he'll take as much as you'll give him. And he does it by using fear. I'm going to listen to this tape myself. It's pretty good. Thank you for it, Lord. Reminding me what to do. Thank you, Jesus. This tape. That's funny. Stop fear before it enters in as an act of the will. You stop it as an act of the will. How? You know how. Don't take the thought. How do you take a thought? Everybody in here knows this answer to this. How? By saying. If you don't say it, it won't be born. Man, the devil tried to get me with something for about 6 months. And he kept saying something to me and saying something to me. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm not uttering a word. Because as long as it's not spoken, there's no way he can do it. And I won. Just don't, you know, I had to go, come, Jordan, I now need somebody to agree with me. Not on this, I didn't. All I needed was the word. Amen. Now, there are situations where you may need someone to agree with you, but you want to watch how you approach someone. Am I running to Jordan to get his agreement just because I want to get to tell it because I'm in fear? Because then he's going to agree with my fear. Now, that's good right there. So, see, get over these little Christianese things that we do. Could you just agree with me that no? Well, do you really mean that? Because let's back up and get on some stable ground before we start getting some agreement.
Yeah.
Off the fear. You remember when Kelly's daughter, most of y'all are old enough, Kelly's daughter had meningitis and she was in the hospital, Kelly Copeland, she was in the hospital and they said she won't make it. And Terry walked in the room and Kelly turned around and said, I will not fear. And Brother Copeland was across the pond, I think. He flew in as fast as he could and he walked in there and put his finger on her breastbone right there. And he said something about from
the anointing
that is in you. Yeah. Speak to the anointing that's in you and rise up. And she did. She said, Papa, I'm healed. She got healed and left the hospital. A lot of kids died that week. But nobody would talk the other. Can't be any room for it. Can't be any room.
That's right.
Well, what if I don't talk it and I still don't get it? See, there you're going to have to cast down that imagination. Amen. The enemies of faith are wrong identity, condemnation, your past, ignorance, flesh, and fear. The friends of faith are the truths that you are a child of God who is loved, you are free from the law of sin and death and the accuser, you are free of your past because the old you is gone, walking in and by the Spirit, feeding on the word of truth, living in awareness that God loves you with an everlasting love that is obligatory. He's obligated to love you. He's in covenant. It's a sworn covenant and he will not break it. Man, that right there saved my life many times. No, he won't. No, he won't, devil. He will not. He'll stick it out with me until I have the answer.
Right.
Amen. And most of all, resolve it in your heart that God is good and he cannot fail.